الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين وقال الله تعالى إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected elders, friends and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is our creator and sustainer. He has created our rizq and our sustenance. And He has also undertaken upon Himself to provide our rizq and our sustenance. He says in the Quran, in the very first verse of the 12 juz, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is not a single creature walking on the face of the earth, but the rizq and the sustenance of that creature is upon Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala knows the whereabouts of each and every living creature. كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything is in a clear book. During the time of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a delegation from the tribe of Ash'ariyin from Bahrain. They came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara, and after their provisions were exhausted, they had sent one person to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make arrangements for further provisions. This sahabi goes to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting this verse, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has undertaken it upon Himself to provide rizq and sustenance. This sahabi, upon hearing this verse, he did not approach Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had so much of iman, so much of yaqeen and conviction on this verse that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala provides and He has undertaken to provide. He returns to his colleagues telling them that be happy Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has undertaken to provide. The colleagues thought that he had made arrangements with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suddenly, one person with a very big pot of food and bread came and presented them with the food. This sahabi with his other colleagues, after eating the food, there was so much of barakah and so much of blessing in the food that they decided to return the surplus to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thank Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for making arrangements. When they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thanked him for the arrangements he had made, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I did not send the food. It is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala who has made his own arrangement to send the food directly to you. This was because of that iman, that yaqeen and that conviction that this sahabi had in this verse that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala deals with us according to our iman and our yaqeen and conviction in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. How much of faith we have in Allah, how much of yaqeen we have in what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, accordingly Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will deal with us. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala undoubtedly is the ultimate provider. Once Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, he was a Nabi of Allah and he was also a king that had everything at his disposal. He was able to speak the language of the animals. He was able to control the jinnats. Everything was under his control. He once requested Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to grant him permission to host all the animals of the animal kingdom and all the fish of the sea. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told him that you will not be able to do it. It is beyond your ability to fulfill that. He made another request and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala granted him the permission to do that. For one complete year, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam prepared foods. One can imagine what arrangements he must have made. Being the king, having dominion over the jinnats, having control over the animals of the animal kingdom, what provisions he must have prepared. When the time came and he told the fish of the sea to partake of the food, only one fish from the sea came and ate all the foods that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam has prepared for the entire year. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam called the fish, reprimanded the fish, I am hosting not only you, but so many other people, so many other animals, and you alone have eaten everything. The fish responded that, O Sulaiman, you have undertaken to provide my meal for today, but today I have eaten only quarter of what I eat every day of my life. Undoubtedly Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Inna Allah huwa razzaq zul quwwatil mateen. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the ultimate provider. He is full of strength and he has full control. Fuzail ibn Iyaz, a great saintly pious person, before he became a saintly person, he was a thief. He was a bandit, a highway rogue. Once, during his errands of stealing, he had to cross a road. He had to cross a river. And he saw something very strange and peculiar. He saw that there was a bird on the top of a tree and it was dropping down some grain into the river. When he looks down, he sees a blind old snake with its mouth open. And he immediately then made tawbah to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and he says, "Oh Allah, when you can make arrangements via a bird to provide for a harmful creature like the snake, where the grains are falling directly into the mouth of the snake, will you then not provide for Fuzail?" That was the turning point of Fuzail ibn Iyad's life, and he became a great saintly person. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he was returning from Madian, going back to his homeland, to Egypt. On his way, he received revelation. And whilst he was conversing with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or after that, he thought to himself that he has left his wife in the valley. He hasn't made any arrangement for food for her, and who will take care of her? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ordered Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to hit his stick on a rock. When he hit the stick on that rock, another rock emerged. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told him to hit that rock as well. The third rock emerged. And when he hit the third rock, from within the third rock, there was a small, minute ant walking inside the third rock with a fresh blade of grass. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, "O Musa alayhi salam, when I can provide a fresh blade of grass for a small minute ant that is hidden within three rocks, will Allah tabarak wa ta'ala not provide for your wife that's in a valley?" My dear brothers and respected elders, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala provides for an individual in very, very strange and unique ways. One person may be very, very poor. He does not have the means to purchase some good food or to provide some good food for himself and his family. Probably he is a chef, and a very wealthy person or a wealthy company may employ him to cook foods. Before those rich and wealthy people can partake of those foods, this chef, who does not have the means to purchase his own food, he is the first one to eat that food. These are the strange ways that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala provides for an individual. It comes in a hadith. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who says that when a person is formed in the womb of his mother, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala instructs the angels to write down and decree four things. And among the four things, one is the rizq and the sustenance of that child. It is our belief, our iman and our yaqeen, that our rizq and our sustenance is decreed by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is also our belief that the richness of any individual is also by the decree of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The poorness of any individual is also by the decree of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. A rich person becomes poor, or a poor person becomes rich, is also with the decree of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Everything is controlled by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in a hadith, quoted in Tirmizi in the second volume. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given certain individuals wealth. If Allah tabarak wa ta'ala did not give them wealth, probably they would become kafirs. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has not given certain individuals wealth. If they would have been given that amount of wealth, probably they would become kafirs. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to every individual what is best in the interest of that individual. It is also our iman and our yaqeen that whatever muscle an individual has or eats in his mouth, it is his rizq that is decreed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whether he obtains it from halal sources or from haram sources. What is halal and that is rizq. But if a person extorted somebody's wealth and from that he eats, or if somebody steals or does any corrupt deal and what he puts into his mouth, that is also his rizq that is decreed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But it does not mean that the wrong that he has done is justified and it is correct in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Has that individual not done that wrong? He haven't adopted haram and illegal ways of adopting or obtaining that monies. Then too, that money would have certainly come to him. One person, he was in need of a horse. He makes a request to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After some time, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sends his slave with a horse to that particular individual. As the slave was riding on the horse, going to deliver this horse to that individual, on the way he got tired, he tied the horse by a tree and he slept off. That particular individual happened to pass by the same way. He was in need of a horse. He saw the rider of the horse sleeping. He found an opportune moment to untie the horse, ride it and steal it and go away. When the slave woke up and he began searching for the horse, he noticed that the very person for whom the horse was intended happened to steal the horse. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentioned how foolish that person was. Had he not stolen the horse would have still come to him. My dear brothers and respected elders, rizq is ordained by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whether you obtain it from halal sources or haram sources, we will get what is ordained for us. We will not get one grain rice more, we will not get one grain rice less. We will get just what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has ordained for us. It comes in a hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that a time is going to come when people will not care, they will not even bother from which sources they obtain their wealth. Amin al-halal, amin al-haram. Whether it is from halal or whether it is from haram. The commitments are so high, they probably have purchased a house on bond, they have an overdraft, the luxury commitments are so high, and every month they have to service the commitments. So whichever way we can get the wealth, we should get it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, this hadith is quoted by Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لا يدخل الجنة لحم غذي بالحرام. That piece of flesh that is nourished with haram will never enter into Jannah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that if a person has purchased a garment with 11 dirhams, and from those 11 dirhams, if one dirham is of haram, the other 10 is halal, until that garment is on his body, his salat will not be accepted. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person who travels, a musafir, his du'as are readily accepted. But there's a certain musafir, his hair is disheveled, the dust on his body, he's in a pitiful state and plight. He turns to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala whilst he's on journey. And he spreads his hands. He asks Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to fulfill his needs. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Anna yustajab. Where will this person's dua ever be accepted? Mat'amuhu haram. His food is haram. Wa malbasuhu haram. His clothing is haram. Everything that he has is haram. Where will his dua, his ibadah be accepted in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? My dear brothers and respected elders, in the recent past, our economy is suffering. It is being battered. A staggering economy, a great recess in our economy. The rand is suffering a great loss against the dollar. There is no doubt. Many businessmen are suffering the consequences. Big companies who we never thought would ever close down are forced and compelled to close down. And in this, we get two types of people. There are some businessmen who are very, very honest and they are really in trouble, they are insolvent and they are having a difficult time. They are honest about the insolvency state. And for those people, we sympathize. And we make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala remove them from the crisis. Undoubtedly, it is a difficult situation. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also advised for people having dealing with such people to sympathize with them, to be soft, kind and compassionate with them. It comes in a hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there was one person in the past. He haven't done any goods of virtue, any deeds of virtue. Upon his death, the angel of death asked him, did you do any good? He said, no. The angel of death told him, no, think, ponder, probably you must have did some good. He said, no. He said, but I remember that I had a business. If a rich person would approach me, then I would be kind, compassionate upon him and give him grace and respite to pay my debts. And if a poor person, if a person declared himself insolvent, he's unable to pay, then I would forgive him. This person thought that dealing in business and dealing with people in this way is not from ibadat. It's not an act of virtue. The angel of death mentions that it comes in a hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, because this person dealt with his people, with his customers, with his clients, in such a sympathetic manner, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgave the person and the person went into Jannah. But my dear brothers and respected elders, we get many other people who abuse the situation. We get many people who claim to be insolvent. They cosmetize the entire situation. They are not insolvent. But they're abusing the situation to declare themselves insolvent for ulterior purposes and motives. One person declares himself insolvent. He declares his business is insolvent. Everything, he hasn't got anything. But that very same person, whilst he declares insolvent, you notice he's furnishing his house. He's declaring himself to be insolvent, he's purchasing another Mercedes or another BMW. He declares himself to be insolvent and after 1 month, he opens up another business in another name. How is that possible? If a person declares himself to be insolvent, it means he hasn't got any means to fulfill the needs of himself or the needs of his debtors. For such people, there is great warnings and wa'id from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is haram to let people down, to abuse a situation. We notice a person, in order to avoid people attaching his goods or his wealth, he probably would transfer his wealth on his wife's names. These are all technicalities. And legally, probably the person will not be able to catch up with him. But in the sight of Sharia, according to the Quran and the Hadith, such a person will not be justified. And it comes in one Hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if one person purchased goods from another person and he declared himself to be insolvent, as long as that person, the owner of the goods, if he can attach his goods, that is by the purchaser, the actual goods, he is justified to take it and keep it by himself. Legally, probably the person will not be able to do it, but according to Sharia, he is the owner of the goods and he can take it. It comes in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, one janazah came before him. He asked, does this person owe anybody money? They said, yes. Did he leave money? Yes. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janazah. The second janazah came. The third janazah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, did this person leave money? He said, no, he is not able to service his debts. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I don't read janazah on that person. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that the reward of a shaheed, a person who is prepared to go in the battlefield, have his body chopped, have his blood spread all around the ground for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he will certainly get Jannah. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, all his sins are forgiven with the exception of debt. How? How bad and how terrible our state of affairs is that we do not regard these things to be form and part of our ibadat. We owe people money and we feel that if we keep that money for ourselves, then only we'll be able to buy bread and milk and put onto our tables. We forget that ultimate provider and sustainer is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We try to provide things for ourselves at the expense of other people's wealth. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect us from any kind of corruption, any kind of evils, and we should understand that our sole provider and sustainer is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And for us to adjust with our situation, we need to also adjust our level of living. In many instances, if we are able to live within 2,000 rand or 3,000 rand, our commitments are going to 10,000 rand. And how do we service those further commitments? That is when we look for devious ways and methods to do it. And in conclusion, one advice from Hazrat Maulana Shabri Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. He mentioned it so beautifully. He says that when you require something, then only you go to the shopping place or you go to the bazaar. Don't go to the bazaar and the shopping place and look for your needs. This world is very tempting. You go there, you're going to buy more than what you require because of the temptation. And how do you limit yourself? In order for us to lead a very beautiful and a simplistic way of life, we need to adjust our way of living. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.